Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timmeri. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcast, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So,
what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri on Relevant Radio.
Welcome, welcome. It's a gentleman's hour today on Trending, and I am asking a rather provocative question, which would not have been provocative 60 years ago, 80 years ago, or even a few hundred years ago. I want to hear from you. It's gentleman's hour here on Trending. Gentlemen and ladies too are free to answer. Do you think that a man should be the sole provider? And it's a yes or no question. And if so, what should he be willing to do to maintain that? You're listening to Trending with Timmeri here on Relevant Radio. It's a fascinating and very important question. Many of you have already responded on social media. Please, I want to encourage you to go and answer this question, yes, no question, and share your thoughts as well. Head over to my Instagram story to answer, or Twitter. Would love to hear from you. Just follow me at Timmeri, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, to share your thoughts, or give us a call the old-fashioned way. The number's 1-888-914-9149. Today during our Gentleman's Hour, we're also going to discuss, in light of what was yesterday International Women's Day, we'll just discuss how men can help women through the challenges that they have highlighted they are facing. Now you might say, oh gosh, I don't want to hear more about feminism. I think that you should stand by and listen to what many women have reached out individually to me, sharing these are the challenges they face today in the culture that we live in. You will be fascinated. And I think there's a special take in terms of how you can help respond. Another topic we're going to discuss in light of yesterday's International Women's Day is I really have asked the question and no one has been able to answer. I have had zero reasons why people believe this. And the question I threw out yesterday is, do you believe there are any battles ahead of women where women are still fighting for equality, even though the radical feminist movement says that they still are? Well, I'm going to discuss with you what the ongoing feminist battle for so-called equality actually says to men, and what you can do about what this battle is ensuing. I think it's a fascinating conversation. So stay with me. Coming up during our Gentleman's Hour, we'll also discuss how we can regain a culture of respect and listening. We'll discuss the use of toxic, referring to people and relationships. Actually, I have a fascinating story about that. My little niece, 14 months old, was called toxic recently. I'll share with you in a little bit. And we're going to discuss how to discern and take action with St. Joseph as our model. So buckle up. It's a gentleman's hour today on Trending. And as you know, any question goes. Questions that you otherwise haven't yet or feel uncomfortable asking your mom or sister, you can ask today. The number's 1-888-914-9149. And again, I want to hear your thoughts. Do you think that a man should be the sole provider? And if so, what should he be willing to do to maintain that? Okay, so before we go any deeper, yesterday was International Women's Day. And grant, there is an International Day for everything and anything today. But this day has received a little additional attention with the battle over abortion and the radical feminist movement. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about with women yesterday on the show was how do you see, what are those challenges that women face today? And I've received fascinating responses. It's actually a question I have been throwing out over the last couple of months to women. And so many of the responses have really amazed me. It shows the place that women find themselves in. And I hope that, gentlemen, you will listen to this, because I think it provides keen insights into how you, as a man, can complement the women around you, whether it be a friend, a spouse, a sister, a child. child, because we live in a culture that is increasingly hostile to the idea of femininity and masculinity and seeks to blur the lines. And this is part of the reason why we have our weekly Gentleman's Hour to help address the crisis. And today is all about how you can help in the face of the challenges women are facing in the battles they believe they still have ahead of them, having to do with so-called equality. So one of the responses, and I shared this yesterday on Trending from the women's perspective, but I want you to listen up, gentlemen. One of the responses I received when I asked what challenges do women face today was from Ashley Gallantstein on Instagram. She said, women are looked down on if they want a man's help to support a household or defend them. Well, my quick response to that, men, if you're listening, is as men, you can show that women should not have that fear to ask for help. They shouldn't be judged by men. They especially shouldn't be judged by other women. And you as a man can actually show the value she holds in your eyes. And that alone will help to ease and erase some of that judgment. Actually, I remember maybe a couple years ago, I was with a group of people and one of the things I've tried to work on, and again, not being like, here, hey, open the door for me, like demanding it, but I've tried to kind of pull back a little bit, not always be the one to march ahead and swing the door open. It used to be that I, would just, try to open the door, and it wasn't because I was trying to be feminist or be the one to grab it, but hey, someone has to open the door, I'll go ahead and do it. And over the last 10 years, I really tried to pull back and stop trying to be the person that's always opening the door, because if I'm in a group with men, that is properly an opportunity for a man to be a gentleman, but I think is very often usurped from him, or is often, he doesn't even think of it because women are just running ahead. And so I remember I was traveling a couple months ago. I was with a group of people, and one of them was a friend of mine's guy. And as we approached the door, I kind of hung back a little bit. And I was also kind of just interested to see what he'd do. And he looked at me annoyed and went, okay, Timory, let me open the door for you. You couldn't just grab that and open the door. And I was astounded. So he recognized and noticed this slight hesitation on my part and was annoyed to be called upon by simple body language for a little bit of assistance. And I remember sitting here thinking like, okay, yeah, he did notice that I was testing the waters there. So very, yeah, great perceptive of him. But it also made me think of this woman's comment where she said, women are looked down on if they want a man's help to support a household or defend them. But it's not just that. It's even just the simple movements in life that women don't feel supported in. The fact that we know, and I've seen this over and over again when I was pregnant or even having a baby, I only ever had, and I was grocery shopping and going out and about. I was very active when I was pregnant and especially right after having the baby before moving. I was out and about right away doing things. And I only had one man ever offer to help me with my groceries when I was super pregnant or when I was with a newborn, carrying a newborn around. Only ever one man. Now, grant, some people might argue, well, COVID got in the way of that. People are scared about, getting in the way. But that's fine. You could still offer and say, hey, if you don't mind, I can walk a little further away. It was interesting to me. And I remember talking to my mom about this, that even when I was a kid and my mom would have, multiple toddlers and kids with her, that the grocers would overload her grocery bags where they were super, super heavy. They wouldn't offer to carry anything to the car, and she could not physically pick up the grocery bag and put it in the car with ease while having children or even being pregnant. And so these are simple little things where I think as a culture, because we have, as women have seen that we are looked down upon if we say, hey, this is too heavy, can you make it lighter? Or, hey, yeah, I actually do expect the person I marry or the person I am married to be the primary breadwinner in our home or to defend me, that we are looked down upon as women for saying that. And so I bring this up during our weekly Gentleman's Hour because, gentlemen, maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you have a thought or a story you'd like to share. I'd love to hear from you. But what I do know is that by the way you value us as women, by those simple movements and gestures, you can help us in erasing our unease and feeling of judgment when we expect or hope to be defended and supported. So I'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. The question of the hour is this. And I want to hear from you, whether on social media. You can follow me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, on Twitter and Instagram, where I put a question box up there. You can answer yes or no, as well as explain. The question of the hour is this during our weekly Gentleman's Hour. Do you think that a man should be the sole provider? If so, what should he be willing to do to maintain that? Okay, we have Stuart from San Antonio on the line, and he has a comment about man being a sole provider. Stuart, what's your thought on this?
Hi there, Timmy.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I am a sole provider. Been married 13 years. We've had a 10-year-old, an 80-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and sole provider. When my wife got pregnant with our first child, she was working at the time, you know, when we were first married. And then I guess around like the 8th or 9th month towards the end, we just decided that we could live on my $11 an hour wage. And I don't know. I guess we're not real like number crunchers, but it worked out for us. And, you know, she hasn't been back in the workforce since then, you know, for the last 10 years.
And
it's tough.
Is this something you guys discerned at a certain point in your marriage?
We just felt like it was the right thing. Like, obviously she can't work when she's 8-9 months pregnant, and then having a baby at home, she can't work, you know, just taking care of the baby, and just kept that going. You know, had 2 more kids. We have 3 now. And the youngest is 5, but we just kept this going. There's a lot. There's a lot that my wife does around the house. Yeah.
Right. And I imagine it's made requires some sacrifices on your parts as well to make this happen.
Okay. Yeah. I think it builds me up as a man, taking care of them in that way, taking care of her and taking care of the kids that way.
Awesome. Stuart, thanks so much for sharing today on Trending. The question of the hour is, do you believe that a man should be the sole provider? And if yes, what should he be willing to do to make that happen? We're going to continue to unpack that question all hour today on Trending. In light of International Women's Day yesterday, today's show is all about how you as men can help women in the challenges they face, as well as how the ongoing feminist battle for so-called equality, we're going to discuss what that actually says to men and what that says about the feminist movement itself. I want to share with you a few more of the challenges women have shared with me that they face. One person on Instagram, It's Me on Instagram, said women can't afford to be stay-at-home moms on one income, especially in Southern California. We can't even buy a house. Now, we're going to dive a bit deeper into this. This is really touching on the whole topic of the entire hour. But how does this relate to men? We're going to discuss this more later, but it does beg the question, I want to hear from you, should a man be a sole provider, and what should you be willing to do? And even in this specific example, It's Me on Instagram is saying women can't afford to be stay-at-home moms on one income, especially in Southern California. You can't even buy a house. It's impossible. And so my question is, at what point do you need to look at relocating your family? At what point do you need to look at perhaps making major changes if the wife, the mother of the home, needs to be present? We're going to dive more into that later on during the show. But I leave that question kind of teased out there because it does require a greater conversation. Another challenge that women face today that was shared by M4++ on Instagram is, she said, the judgment women experience for having more than 2 kids. Now, I think this is another area where, as a culture, fathers especially, you can help out. You can help women in 2 ways in this respect. One thing I greatly admire, especially about men, and my husband has helped me with this, is when I am perhaps being sensitive about certain topics that, yes, justly we should be sensitive about. Sometimes my husband will really just help me in understanding, you know, you just have to blow it off. You have to have some thick skin to just not care. When someone says something that is so outrageously offensive and judgmental and uncomfortable, It's so easy, yes, of course, because it is judgmental, because it is uncomfortable to feel sensitive about it. But I think one thing we can really admire for men and husbands, you can help your wives in doing this, gentlemen, you can help your friends in doing this, fathers helping your daughters, let it roll off our backs. And that can be so hard, but sometimes just hearing like, hey, you gotta let it go, you gotta have some tough skin on this one, that is so important. And my husband will remind me of this from time to time too, you know, during the radio program that I do. There are a lot of people who really hate what I say. I get some fantastic emails and social media posts and even stalker-like comments that people will share incessantly, not backing off. At a certain point, you know, you could go, well, man, you know, maybe I really am wrong, or maybe, you know, this is really terrible. And it's always good to question our thoughts and listen to other people. But we need to be able to have that thick skin when we know something is right and someone is wrong, to not feel the pressure and judgment, especially in the case of being judged for having too many kids. I think another way that men can help women in this is you can help your spouse by making sure that she's confident in knowing that you are there to help, that she is not solo parenting, that she has the support she needs to be the mom that she has been called to be to as many children as our Lord is calling her to mother. And, you know, sometimes women do feel that judgment from other people for having more than two kids. Why? Because they themselves are judging themselves and their marriage and their situation, and, well, I haven't, and I don't have help. And so maybe they're justifying that judgment because they think they are alone. And so those are two concrete ways that I think, gentlemen, you can help women in this great challenge that women do face today. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray here on Relevant Radio. Okay, two more. Cat Pellet on Instagram, and I shared this yesterday, but again, I want to give the perspective of how I see you as a man can step into this role and help us as women. One comment Cat Pellet on Instagram said for a challenge women face today has to do with middle-aged women who are caring for their aged parents while doing it all. Maybe they're working at the same time, maybe, you know, they're raising kids, they're trying to be involved and present at every extracurricular activity, get every meal on, walk the dog, you know, do all of these things. I saw a fascinating interview a few years ago of a woman who was absolutely exhausted because she was managing the care of her parents who were aging and ill. She was, you know, managing the care of her whole household, loving her family. She was, again, trying to keep everything cooked and cleaned and walk the dog, stay somewhat healthy, get enough sleep. And it's absolutely crippling and exhausting. And so where can men be involved in this? Where can men help step in? Well, I think that at every stage in marriage, at every stage in the raising and rearing of children, there needs to be constant reevaluation of, hey, how are things going? Am I as a husband, are you as a wife and a mother, in the place you are meant to be? Are we creating an environment for our children to need have what they need? Are we creating an environment for you to have what you need? Maybe it might even just be enough sleep or enough time to cook or whatever it might be, so that she can care for those who have been entrusted to her care, from her children to her spouse to her aging parents. I think that this is a really important reminder that men, you can step in to help reevaluate, to create the circumstances where your wife, the mother of your children, can be in the place that she needs to be. And that means that it requires making adjustments, being willing to make the sacrifices in the context to make that happen, which brings us back to the question of the hour that we're going to continue to dive in on here on Relevant Radio. And the question is this: do you think that a man should be a sole provider? And if so, what should he be willing to do to maintain that? You can share your comment now on Twitter or Instagram. I put that up on my Instagram story. You can answer yes, no, and share your thoughts, or give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. We'll be taking calls on this in just a couple minutes, so hang on there if you have a thought. I know it's a provocative question. Okay, another challenge that women face today that I believe men can play a part in helping, and this is, single men, listen up here. This is so important. Because Kat Paul on Instagram said the challenge young women face is finding the right person to marry. I believe one of the reasons why this is such a challenge for women is because men are not asking. They don't ask. I remember, you know, years later being married out of college and out of kind of the dating scene, I remember talking to friends and various people from college and saying, "Oh yeah, I always wanted to ask you out." And I remember just looking like, "Why didn't you? I spent a lot of college single. Why didn't you?" I can tell you, I think a vast number of people who I actually dated were some of the only people who asked. And so, gentlemen, what can you do to help women who are trying to find a spouse? Quit talking yourself out of asking her out. Quit delaying. Don't be so afraid of failure or rejection. Pick up the pieces and move on. If she says no, she says no. Sure, you can always ask again, but I think that that is something that is so important. You have to ask. This is how you can help women who are trying to find the right person to marry by giving them the opportunity to actually go on a date with you. And ladies, please listen to this because it is so important. If he asks, if you are really, really not interested, by all means say no and make it a clear no. Don't lead him on. But if you're open to it, there's nothing wrong with going on a date. Or maybe two or three dates, and discerning through those one, two, or three dates, you should really know by the end of the third date if you're interested in pursuing a relationship or not. So, what I'm saying is say yes. You don't have to just say no. You're listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on Relevant Radio. We are going to come back, continuing to dive into these important topics today. The whole theme of the show during our weekly Gentlemen's Hour is how you, gentlemen, can help understand and know the challenges women face, why the feminist movement is still fighting for equality, and what that says to men and what you can do. The question of the hour is, do you think that a man should be the sole provider? And if so, what do you think he should be willing to do to maintain that? Answer now on social media. I would love to hear from you. Question box is up there to answer this question on Instagram and Twitter. I'll be right back during our weekly Gentleman's Hour.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, the question of the hour, and it is our weekly Gentleman's Hour today on Trending. This is a question I want to hear from you. Do you think that a man should be the sole provider? And if so, what do you think he should be willing to do to maintain that? You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. That is the question of the hour. You can answer it now by giving me a call, 1-888-914-9149. Or if you don't want to call, I would love to hear from you on social media. I posted this question on Twitter as well as my Instagram story. Yes, no answer. You can explain if you want to explain, but I am curious to hear your thoughts. So again, if you're not willing to pick up the phone, please go get those fingers moving. I'd love to hear from you on Instagram or Twitter. Follow me at Timory, TimmerIe. We will take this up. So many thoughts I know on the topic. Before we go there, what does this ongoing feminist battle for so-called equality say? Especially to men, because I think it is fascinating. I threw the question out there yesterday on International Women's Day. I asked, are there any fights ahead of women that are legitimate fights for equality that we as women still have? Because I really am curious, like, do you believe that there are any battles for equality? And when I say equality, I'm talking about equal rights under the law. And I would argue, and I think this relates to you, gentlemen, because I want to hear your thoughts on this. I would argue that no, there is not a fight for equality for women ahead of women under the law that women still need to fight for equal rights. I hope that this provokes people's responses. I would love to hear from you if you have something you believe that women still need to fight for that allows them equal rights with men. Unless you're going to, and of course, unless you're going to say that we still need to fight for equal rights for women in the womb, yes, that is absolutely so. But the radical feminist approach across the board, no, we don't. And, I think that anything that needs to be fought for is the rights of women for them to stop being fed lies about abortion and contraception that is leading them to not flourish in the ways that they are meant to as women because they're being told the lie and fed the lie and they're suffering postpartum abortion. That's a whole nother topic we could dive into. But I think overall, on the perspective of what's happening on the fight for so-called equality, No, women do not have a battle ahead of them for equal rights under the law to men. What the radical feminist movement is doing today is they are currently fighting for a leg up. They're not fighting for equality. Women today are fighting for a leg up in the culture. And I think this is really interesting because this is actually a very feminine thing to do. In other words, women want to be provided for. They want to be protected. They want to be respected. They want to be held up on a pedestal. I think that this is actually a really, really important thing to see and know that this so-called fight for equality today that women are ensuing is not a fight for equality. It's a fight for a leg up. You see, the culture doesn't help women when we say we are self-sufficient and need no man for years, for a couple generations now, the last 50 years. Culturally, we said, okay, fine, and sometimes justifiably so, have at it. Take care of yourselves. Fight for yourselves. You see, I look at some of the examples of things that the feminist movement is fighting for. What are they fighting for? They're fighting essentially for benefits, not equality. A big one is extended, prolonged, and massively beneficial maternity leave. And again, I'm not criticizing or critiquing that. I've benefited from maternity leave myself. It's very important to have that additional time to bond with your child. But I do think it is interesting. You're asking for a benefit, not for equality in maternity laws. Another benefit that women are fighting for today is, or that I would say women are experiencing, they're fighting for essentially what is profiling. Women are asking for profiling in the workforce to have preferential treatment and for quotas to be placed on how many women are being hired. And I think that this is fascinating. Women are also fighting for abortion because they believe that abortion will make them more equal with men. But again, I'm not saying that abortion in and of itself is a benefit, but to the feminist movement, that is a benefit, legal abortion. You see, all of these things that we are seeing the radical feminist movement fight for, they are not things that make women equal with men in the law. They are things that give women a leg up in our eyes to be in a different placement next to men. Even the battle for so-called equal pay. Do not get me started on equal pay. I will briefly go off on that soapbox for a moment. This whole equal pay debate where people say women are not equally paid for the work that the equal weight work, the same work that they do as men. Well, yeah, if you look at universal averages of what women make versus men will make, absolutely. There is not equality in that. Why? Because women choose to enter in and out of the workforce. Women also historically choose jobs that naturally make less money. For example, teaching, among other things, secretarial work. Women are also less likely to encourage and push for raises and promotions. In fact, women in studies have been done showing this are less likely than men to ask for a raise or promotion because they're always thinking about how someone else could deserve it or how the company, has their funds tied up in various ways and they don't want to disrupt things. Women are always thinking about other people, so they don't ask for that financial benefit. And yes, some women do ask for raises, but it's something to be aware of that when women are fighting for so-called equal pay, they're fighting for, and I find this fascinating, they're fighting for governmental intervention to create laws or government-funded programs or industry regulation for people to actually give women a leg up. And when I say that, for the culture to value women, for the culture to be just toward women, for a culture to do its duty toward women, or even for the culture to be charitable toward women. That's what I find so fascinating about this battle for equality in the feminist movement. It is not about a battle for equal rights under the law. It's a battle for a leg up for women. And this, my friend, is very feminine. To say that we as women want to be higher be valued at a higher level, that we as women want others to fight for us and provide protection and means for us, that is very feminine. But that's what's so funny about the feminist movement. They don't realize that that's what's happening. And so my point in this, especially talking about during the Weekly Gentleman's Hour, one, I didn't get to talk about this yesterday during International Women's Day when I wanted to, but two, I was really thinking about this from the perspective of men. And I think that you can play a role in understanding that this so-called feminist battle for so-called equality, what it's saying is that you can help in returning to a culture of honor toward women, even when we sometimes don't act like we deserve it or don't show that we desire it. You help us to honor ourselves when you honor us. You can love us even when perhaps we, as a culture of women, have pushed love away in the name of progress in our lives, in the name of advancement, career, education. You, gentlemen, can fight for us even when we say we can fight for ourselves or support ourselves or that we're self-sufficient. You can also help women to understand and know that we are heard, as so many women believe today that they are not heard, not seen and not known, whether it be from family of origin, their own experience, or perhaps because people have not listened to them. You as an individual man can help the women in your lives be heard, be seen, be known, be loved, be honored, be fought for. This is what will help address the radical feminist movement. A study came out a few years ago. We'll have to talk about it again here on the show. And it was a fascinating study because what it showed, lots of universities and educational systems behind this, what it showed was that even radical feminist women who believed in, you know, abortion, contraception, equal pay, all of that, that the people, the men that they dated, the men that they married, they wanted to be treated as special, as different from the men. They wanted to be lifted up and put on that pedestal. So what that showed about even radical feminists, that they want to be loved, cherished, known, seen, and fought for and honored by men. Even in the face of the so-called fight for equality, they might be involved in. You're listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on Relevant Radio. And I think that these battles in front of us are so important that we're understanding underneath, digging underneath that rock, flipping it over, what's really happening in so many of the cultural battles today. The challenges for women has to do with the lack of respect, honor, and integrity surrounding who women are, who men are, and how we are called to relate to one another in the culture that we live in. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. The question of the hour is this: do you think that a man should be the sole provider? And if so, what do you think he should be willing to do to maintain that? I'll be right back here on Trending as we answer this question and more.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's our weekly Gentleman's Hour today on Trending, and the responses are flooding in on social media. The question of the hour is this: do you think that a man should be the sole provider? If so, what do you think he should be willing to do to maintain that? Can answer now, tweet, Instagram, love to hear from you. Put a question box and put this question up on social media. Go ahead and follow me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E on social media to share your thoughts. I'm fascinated. And I can already tell you this, we're going to have to do a follow-up on this topic because it has been hot with responses, and I'm fascinated to read through every single one of your responses and gather some thoughts on that because I think it really is important. But what really led to this question was the fact that yesterday on International Women's Day, I posed the question, what challenges do women face? And many of the responses I received had to do with the pressure on women to work, the difficulty for women to be present to their children, the difficulty, whether it be young moms or women middle age and up, who are having to try and balance it all, caring for family, caring for aged relatives, getting everything cooked, or working at the same time. It's such an important question. Some of the responses so far on Twitter, for example, I'd like to share with you. to this question, Donna said, I can vote yes or no due to their always extenuating circumstances. But if a woman is disabled or just in bad health, as I am, then they should be like my husband. That is, he took two jobs in order to keep his wife protected from worry and fear, to keep the house running. So that's one testimony. So she doesn't necessarily agree one way or the other, but in their circumstances, she needed her husband to really take care of them because of her disability and bad health. I think this is, you know, again, one example for us to ponder and see the need that when called to do so, men will step into that role. Another comment from Michael on Instagram said, there are so many layers that need to be peeled back in order to allow this to happen. That is, namely, a husband being the sole provider and being willing to make this happen. It goes on to say, society has done everything possible to make this nearly impossible, both economically and socially. And I would argue that this is true, especially coming from Southern California, where so many people feel like they never can or never will own a home because of the pressure financially in order to just survive. So many people are living renting homes for prolonged periods of time or renting apartments because they can't afford a down payment on a home. That is the challenge and hurdle that so many people have. And yes, there are government programs such as FHA loans. And if you didn't know this, where you can put only 3% down or 3.5% down on a home if you're a first-time home buyer, so that it can help you to get a leg up to actually buy a home. You know, there's so many things that we could talk about and caveats of this issue itself, but it's true. Michelle, on a cultural societal level, we have put many roadblocks in order to make that happen. But I would also argue that as a culture, we've imposed those roadblocks upon ourselves. I received an email last night from John in Chicago when we were talking about this during International Women's Day yesterday. He said, men have lost their way as being dedicated providers, especially when the family needs mom home most. He said, many times we, being men, looked across our neighbors at our neighbors' pools that were being built. We looked across at our neighbors' spare garages that were going up, and we wondered, what are we doing wrong? And he said, but being with our family was more important. Thanks be to God. And so this is a really important thing to understand, that even men feel that pressure at times. Like, yes, I need to do more. Maybe my wife needs to do more, so that we can, in a certain respect, keep up with the Joneses or give our children more. But the challenge is today, the idea of giving our children more is material rather than giving them more of our time, our presence, our influence, even those dad boring moments where suddenly we have to come up with a game outside rather than swimming in a pool. I didn't grow up with a pool. Grant, I love swimming in pools. There's always a pool, someone's pool that you can find to swim in. There's always a lake. There's always a beach. There's always something that you can find. Yet, things such as having our own pool or having that spare garage or whatever that might be, of buying your kid a brand new car, there's always that pressure. But at the end of the day, I think the question at hand is this: what sacrifices are you willing to make in order to keep mom present in the home? And yes, dad is important as well, but to have mom be present as much as possible. I think that this is a really important question. I want to share with you a little bit of keen insight that I like to remind myself of on this issue of whether or not a man should be the sole provider, and if so, how this should be done and maintained. A few years ago, Bishop Olmsted, here in the United States, wrote a apostolic letter titled Complete My Joy. And this letter was written specifically to Christian spouses. And he at one point talks about the crux of the family matter. And he says this, he asks this question having to do with wives and mothers. Who has made space for her to be a mother? He asks this question after talking about how in a woman's body a space is made for the child. that as the child is born, you know, you create this environment, that nursery, that bed, whatever it is. And hey, I'll just say for a second, we didn't have a nursery for my baby when she was born. She slept in a bassinet in our room. We didn't have a separate closet when my baby was born. I cut out half of my closet, gave my baby my dresser, and my dresser was filled with baby stuff. Like, I just want you to know, like, this is really important that we understand sacrifices have to be made, not just having to do with there being little space, but the fact that, well, how much are you going to force yourself? What are you going to commit yourself to financially in order to have the size home you want, the type of home you want? What sacrifices are you willing to make so that you can, above all, be present to my child? And it's so funny because I think there were even moments for me as we were getting ready to have the baby girl, it's like, oh yes, idea of having that dedicated room and painting the walls and, you know, designing the closet and picking out, you know, all of the bedding and, you know, having, you know, that beautiful designed area where you can see all of her wardrobe. All of that I desired too. All of that I wanted. All of that I hoped for. All of that sounded fun. But at the end of the day, what was having a new baby about? It was about embarking on this great journey of receiving the gift of new life. And instead of just preparing a nursery, which is important if you have the space for that, that is a blessing. It's a part of nesting and preparing that space. That we're preparing, yes, a physical space for our child, but we're also preparing our hearts to have a space for our child in our hearts. For things that need to be sacrificed to be taken out. My husband and I joke that right when we found out I was pregnant and having our first baby, we were just at a point financially where I could start taking dance classes again regularly. And if you know nothing, I grew up dancing my whole life. I've danced professionally. I danced with the Russian Ballet Company in Washington, D.C. When I was in high school, the Kirov. I've danced with the ballet company. I've taught dance professionally. And you know, there have been phases where I've tried to still take classes. One, because I love it. It's fun. It's a great form of exercise. But it's also really expensive to take dance classes, just like it's expensive to take Pilates or whatever it might be. And I was so excited. And then, boom, I find out I'm pregnant. And boom, I'm so exhausted. And, of course, code and everything hit. But I remember my husband kept commenting and saying, like, yes, a wife has to make a lot of sacrifices when she becomes a mother, but so too does the husband. There are many sacrifices that must be made. So to answer this question that Bishop Olmsted posed, who has made the space for her to be a mother? That's the question at hand. Who will make that space? It will and it must be the husband. Even when the cultural circumstances and the environment we live in does not allow that, husbands, before you even have children, be thinking with this in mind. Fight for this. Fight for this, even if it means you have to work with your spouse in helping her through that transition of working less. I have dear friends in my life. The wife had a very successful career downtown Chicago. They moved to New York. They moved to some of the top cities in the nation. And she just had an absolute kick butt job, kick butt salary, was extremely successful, effective. Finally, they start having children. She goes on maternity leave and she said, well, I'm getting right back to work. You know what happened as she was on that maternity leave? She said, I can't even imagine leaving my baby. I can't imagine. I want to be here with my child every single day. But then there's a lure at the same time. But you're so successful. You love your job. You're going to be bored at home. Hey, what are you going to do when people ask you, you know, what do you do? You know what? Her husband knew that the best possible thing for their children would for her to be home and present every day, raising a child day to day, full time. And he had to work with her in her heart as she transitioned and let go of some of her career, some of, you know, the face-to-face time she had with her colleagues. But now, 5-6 years later, she is so happy, so fulfilled in different ways than she found herself fulfilled before. So this brings me back to Bishop Olmsted's letter. He asks the question, who has made the space for her, that is the mother, the wife, to be a mother? In the section in his work, Complete My Joy, Bishop Olmsted has a full section on masculine and feminine differences. And the title is Masculine and Feminine Differences Matter. And here he makes a comment. He says, "Dear daughters in Christ, the worth, dignity, and genius inherent to you is irreplaceable in your family." That is, Bishop Olmsted wants you as a wife, as a mother, to understand that your worth, your dignity, the very genius inherent to who you are is irreplaceable in your family. No one can fill that void. No one can be outsourced to fill that gap. He goes on to say, only you can offer the motherly love your children needs. He even refers to sacred scripture where we read where God is like a mother. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, we read, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." Notice he didn't say, "As a father comforts his child, as a mother comforts her child," emphasizing and pointing to the fact that women hold a special place in the caring, rearing, and nurturing of children. Yes, men do too, but differently. Women hold that special place. And when I say women, not just any woman, but the mother of a child. And I want you to hold with me, because I always hear from so many of you. Maybe you're not in a place in your life where you can do this today. Maybe you feel judged by what I'm sharing. But I want you to listen to what Bishop Olmsted is sharing and encouraging, and actually at a certain point even challenges us as Christian spouses, as husbands and mothers, what to do. He goes on to refer to what I talked about yesterday, as St. Edith Stein. St. Edith Stein was a great philosopher and phenomenologist who died during World War II in Auschwitz. She died for her faith. St. Edith Stein says this, and again, this is one of my favorite quotes. I mention it all the time. St. Edith Stein says, "A woman's soul is fashioned as a shelter in which other souls may unfold." I shared this with you yesterday and so often here on the show. Well, we need to take this seriously, that literally, whether you are a mother or not, whether you're my wife or not, all women are called to this. A woman's soul is fashioned as a shelter in which other souls may unfold. Our physical capacity to carry life is just a glimpse of, yes, such an important part of who we are as women, physically caring, nurturing, and raising children. But it's a glimpse into the very depths of our soul that we are fashioned to help other souls develop, nurture, and grow. So Bishop Olmsted initiates a challenge that I hope you, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, will particularly listen to today. And join me in constantly reevaluating where your marriage is, where your relationships, where you're discerning marriage with a particular person, how you're having conversations about how to raise children, who will be present. Listen to this challenge. Bishop Olmsted says in his letter, Complete My Joy, a letter to Christian spouses, he says, "I have here a challenge for you and your husband, which I offer knowing you will have to consider, in some cases, remarkable sacrifices." So from the offset, Bishop Olmsted is saying, this is not easy. This is something to consider, and this will be a remarkable sacrifice. And he's speaking specifically to women, but husbands, listen, this is our weekly Gentleman's Hour here on Trending, and this is a way that you can help transform the culture. He says, "Be at home with your children while your children are young. Where possible, put other work off during this time of necessary imbalance when your children need most to absorb your motherly presence and the unconditional love you more naturally provide. This time goes so quickly," he says, "and once gone cannot be recaptured." He says, "Never doubt that there's no greater job in all the world than to be the first to form and nurture the mind, heart, and soul of your child." And I'll repeat again what he said. Only you, mothers, can offer the motherly love your children need. Husbands, again, this is our weekly Gentleman's Hour. Whether you're discerning marriage, whether you are married, whether you've been working with the status quo of your marriage, don't be afraid to make the remarkable sacrifice that Bishop Olmsted is inviting you to, for the sake of your children, for the decrease of the stress and anxiety that so many of us women are under today, this pressure to do everything, to have everything. Together as spouses, work to live more simply. Plan ahead how you will make those sacrifices, and constantly never cease to reevaluate where you are in life and how you can be better present to each other, your children, and answer the great call of femininity and masculinity in the culture. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. This is Timmeri from Trending with Timmeri. Thursday is our weekly marriage hour on Trending. Everything to do with dating, relationships, and marriage. And we are going to be talking to our in-house matchmaker, Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City. We're going to discuss why it's empowering to dress with the opposite sex in mind while dating. And we're also going to talk about religious luring in dating. So join me Thursday, 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.